Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
You're listening to The Thinker Girls. All the things you're thinking, but not saying.
You're listening to Thinker Girl, the podcast, and are joined by The Thinker Girls, Stacey June.
And Christy Mercer, welcome along.
That was a bit of a pause there, mate. Was that for effect?
Yeah, no, so I was clicking a button.
Yeah. No effect. You should have committed. Yeah, it was effect. It's a new thing we're doing, pausing, because we usually can't get a word in each way. If you haven't listened to the podcast before, welcome, guys. We are two radio chicks who dump our co-host once a week to talk shit on this podcast about thoughts you're thinking but not saying. And luckily for us, we get to have a hot seat hottie join us each and every week, where we get to kind of essentially adopt a new girlfriend, as well as have a different insight into our show. And this week is a good one. We are doing the Fringe Festival in Adelaide. God, in a couple of weeks now, 13th and 14th of March, you can come and see a live recording of our podcast. But somebody that's doing a little bit more than that, a bit more of an impressive stint, and does it as a career, is a woman by the name of Emily Tresner. And she joins us. Hello, Emily.
Hello. It's a pleasure to be with you, ladies.
Thanks for joining us. Now, your show, Absolutely Ridiculous, is also at Adelaide Fringe this weekend, 6th and 7th, and you're also on the 13th and 14th. We are pumped. We're hoping that we can actually come and see it when we're in Adelaide.
I would love to have you guys come down. That would be brilliant.
Oh yeah, that would be amazing. Okay, so it's called Absolutely Ridiculous. We've got to get involved
in
that.
Yeah, Adelaide Fringe website if you want tickets. But we, if you haven't, as I said, listen to the podcast, we talk thoughts you're thinking but not saying, each bring a gem to the table. This week, ladies, what's on our mind?
I want to talk about the fact that I got my period at work today, which is no biggie, but it kind of is when you're not expecting it. I feel like this is something that I haven't done since I was about 12 or 13.
I know.
Yeah,
it does feel a bit juvenile,
it really,
doesn't it?
It really was, and it was totally awkward. So anyway, I need to dissect this because I feel still a bit embarrassed about it.
Okay, and what have you got for us?
I have to talk about females in comedy generally, I think. Probably just the experience that I've had
interesting.
In comedy. In relation to the boys. The boys.
Okay.
B-O-I-I-Z.
Because you love to add a Z.
Yeah, with your hands crossed across your chest, Du Bois.
It is such
a boys club. That's interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, then you cross all the marks of all of the groups, like the blacks, the boys, the fucking, you know, you're really covering all bases here, the white Australian hip hop society. Hey, I want to talk about barbecues. The Aussie barbecue in particular, and how the fuck we are still at a place where boys are sitting on that side cooking the meat and girls are inside with each other making a salad.
So true.
Mind blown.
Can we please start
like
with
that? Like discos, but...
We need to
isn't it ridiculous?
We need to start
so
with
it used to piss me off really badly when I used to host more barbecues when I was in a relationship. And kind of pretending that I essentially was like a Martha Stewart when I wasn't. And that's essentially now why I'm single, because I did see that that wasn't the path for me. And so as I was sitting there constantly trying to merge, I guess, this life that I thought was for me, and I'm not saying barbecues aren't for me in general, but this is the place where I started to realize that these things annoyed me, was when I would have all of my partner's friends over and we would have, you know, lots of couples and a fairly big group. And straight away, it was just boys by the barbecue, cooking the snags, cooking the meat, and girls like banished to the kitchen sink. I mean, I know we were both doing activities, but you were doing the salad, and it was just this unspoken thing. And if anybody merged in the other way, like my cousin's a bit of a foodie, and I remember a few times she wanted to get on the barbecue and cook the lamb correctly, like so it wasn't fucking burnt to a bloody crisp. It was kind of looked as if this was like this big deal. Like, look at her go. Look at her hanging out with the boys. And then it doesn't stop, because then you sit down or you finish, and i.e. a lot of the time, this wasn't in my case, but when I've noticed going to barbecues, the girls are kind of cleaning up still.
Yep.
And then the groups afterwards, as you sit, become two groups, boys group and girls group. How the fuck? And I realized after I got out of that relationship too, it's not just in this particular group of friends. It's everywhere.
It's everywhere. And it's not just a barbecue. It is actually within dinner settings. Like if you go out to a restaurant, like if you're at a bar, like I get that it is more so even more prevalent at a barbie because it seems the boys cook the meat and the girls toss the salad. But it's fucked and it does happen. It does happen a lot and it happens not just in your group but like in mine and different groups that I am within, but even within my family. My family's very much
exactly.
like that.
Yeah.
It's one of those things as well where I also get a bit conflicted with this stuff because at some point it kind of pisses me off, but then at the other point, sometimes I just want to talk to the girls. Like it's not, you know, it's not really an agenda-driven thing. Like you're talking. But at the same time, can't you talk to the girls with there being a boy sitting in between you two? Do you know what I mean? Like I don't know where the divide comes from.
I don't know. It's not even the activity of the cooking though half the time as well. Like I've been to barbecues when, yeah, like you said, the cooking's over and it's still very much like, this is the boys' corner, this is the girls' corner. I don't really know why that happens. I don't. Maybe it's guys... like hormone thing.
Yeah.
like pheromones maybe. The opposite effect of pheromones.
We all sniff each other out, literally. But I mean, I do you guys have a problem with it? Like at the time, I guess I was probably unhappy looking for problems. So I guess that was why it was an issue for me. And then I look out of that circle and realize it's happening everywhere. It wasn't just happening at the time I was with those kinds of people. Is it something that bugs you? Because I feel like it kind of bugs me.
When we're talking about it, it does, because I'm with you. I'm like, why are we still here? But at the same time, I think about if I were to have a barbie right now and I've got a group of girlfriends, like although we're friends with everybody, all partners, the guys and mates, whatever, and it is one big friendship group.
Uh-huh.
If I go, all right, girls, come over and then bring your blokes and then we're all going to have a big barbecue, I just want to see my friends as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
And as much
I'm on that page,
yeah,
I think.
As much as I'm like, everyone, come one, come all, the more the merrier, I kind of also just want to stand there with my three girlfriends, open the bottle of wine and ask them how work's going and is your boyfriend still being a dickhead? And I can't do that if one of the guys is sitting there, if I'm honest.
I know. And that's why sometimes I think I'm, overthinking it because I think, well, you're kind of thinking it from this fucking social shift that you want to happen and actually just think about what you want to do, which is bitch on with your chicks.
Totally.
But at the same time, I don't know. There's also, I reckon, don't you reckon there's certain groups where the division is a little bit more aggressive?
I don't know. I think within my friendship group, we are very much like girls will go out for girls' dinners. And that's great. And then you can bring your partners and it's, you know, an outing with the partners and that's great too. But it always does kind of lean towards the girls just like sitting at one end talking about the boys usually, like we just said.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's an aggressive move or more just like kind of, instinctual, but, you know, you're like, I'll catch up with you.
Yeah.
And if you're talking to their boyfriend who you don't really know that much about, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
How does it work with you? Like, do you still ask each other a partner's welcome or is this a girl's night? Or is it kind of like if one of your girlfriends texts you and says, pop on round for tea or let's have a barbie or let's go out for drinks, does everybody just assume that everyone comes? Because that was another thing within my friendship group of my girlfriends. People were getting pissed off where they were like, guys, we're not 16 anymore. We don't need to ask permission if the blokes are coming. It can just be everybody comes.
I am a strong advocator for girls' nights.
Yeah.
Like I said.
And I think
I'm a stickler for girls' nights. Mm. I get really kind of, I do get unnecessarily angry if one of my friends or a couple of my friends bring a boyfriend when I thought it was a girls' night. I might be crazy.
Yeah.
But,
no,
you know,
no, no, no. There needs to be the line. You need to set a clear line of what the night is, I feel like. Otherwise, everyone gets confused.
Totally. I very much agree with that.
Are you in a relationship, Em?
No. Oh,
big question.
What was the weird laugh?
A lot of my stand-up is about some really just funny experiences that I've had with people. I have a whole bit about an imagined relationship with a barista that I go to regularly. No, I am very single. I'm very single.
Yeah, and I feel like sometimes as well there's this Auk City thing where, and I've spoken about this on the show before, young mate, where we actually, as a single chick, sometimes it's like this automatic thing that people think your boyfriends aren't allowed, or you know, you're almost allergic to men, especially if they're yours. And it's like, no, actually, just give it to me clear. And I'm the person that's saying, let's all have a barbecue and sit together. The other question I wanted to raise, though, I feel like this is the norm in Australia. When you go overseas, and I lived in Europe for a couple of years, it doesn't seem this segregated, which is another reason I guess I kind of get a little bit annoyed. Like, it does seem very cultural. And as much as we do love chatting with the girls, there are some guys that I feel like the kind of guys I want to hang out with, and especially some guys that are my friends, my very best friend's husbands, that can totally make you feel like you're still with the girls, i.e. you're just with your friends and they don't have to be girls. I feel like this also is set, and you wanting to just be with the girls, with the kind of blokes that are actually at the barbecue. Does that make sense? Because if it's really open and you're kind of a bit more of a liberal group, I don't feel like there's such a pressure. And I do think it's a bit of a cultural thing we have.
Yeah, I think too, especially when it's this thing where you go to a barbecue or you go out with a group of people and there's this thing where every single person has got to, they're going to be on their own and they're going to feel sad about it. So it needs to be like boy, girl. Girl, boy, girl, boy, girl, or just the girls, that it's actually okay to do, like, for there to be two couples in a single, whether it's a single guy or a single girl. It doesn't.
So you think it's like a pity party for singles?
Yeah, it doesn't actually need to be like even numbers, or like, okay, we're going to go out for a couples night and there's going to be three couples, so that's six people. Like, people in a relationship or out of a relationship can all be together. But I do think, Stace, that it does depend on the people you're hanging around with. And I know that mate's husband, your best mate's husband that you speak of, you are probably as close with him almost than you are with a lot of your friends anyway. So I think it definitely does depend
on the man.
Yeah, I think it does.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I do think that this, without meaning to be really general, like a generalization, is that I think a lot of the reasons we do this is because we're hanging around Aussie men. I do feel like that they're more than anything... I think more than the girls all just kind of rallying together, I actually think it's a lot of the Aussie blokes kind of just wanting to hang with each other. Does that make sense?
They're a different breed.
I think they are, and I didn't want to put it out there, but I kind of think they really are.
Do you know what? The segregation doesn't piss me off until the wash-up time. That's when it really annoys me. I don't mind
if the
guys...
time, girl?
Like when you're cleaning up after the barbecue.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, because I tell you what, this happens. And even when I go home to mum and dad's place for dinner, this happens. My dad and my brother will sit there watching the TV. And then the girls, my sister, myself and my mum, will all get up and clear the table. It's just like innate. And then sometimes...
I'll give you a quick fix. Quick fix for that.
Yeah, what's that?
Plastic plates.
What's that?
Plastic plates. Plastic. Just throw the bad boys
just
out.
Just chuck them out. Throw the bad boys out. Yeah, and then the blokes are like,
why are we eating on the paper plates? Fucking woman.
Are you gonna do the dishes?
I know. But it is, you're right, Christy. It's completely inbred, and I guess why it annoys me is because I'd like to think that I could potentially change the groove a little bit so my kids could witness something else, because I don't want them to be witnessing that and then continuing the frickin' habit where it's like I can only talk to a vagina over a gathering. Like, far out. For our work, man, we talk to vaginas all day. Well, not really two vaginas.
We're not guys. Are we?
But you know what I mean. Fuck.
You know what? Speaking to vaginas all day, isn't that a selling point, Em, of your shows, where you're like, I'm a female stand-up comedian, but I don't talk about vaginas and I don't talk about periods. So
Em, let's get into your gem.
That definitely is a selling point, which I find so ridiculous, but also hilarious at the same time. I just came back from Perth Fringe, and I've done some flyering, obviously, here in Adelaide for previous shows. And I would use that as my shtick. I'd be like, here you go, female comedian, no vaginas, no menopause, no periods. Everyone cracks up, and they're like, well, what do you talk about? And I'm like, it's 45 minutes of silence, but come along. What do you mean, what do I talk about, you know? Like, it's just such a crazy thing to me. Like, I totally can appreciate females, comics, and, you know, I can appreciate that they do talk about that because it's interesting and it is funny. But it's crazy to me that the fact that I don't can sell my show as well as have people ask me what I do talk about.
Oh, mate, you're preaching to the choir because, I mean, we're too... Oh, it's pretty absurd. And I mean, I guess it's great because then you sell more tickets. We've opted to just push through because we want to, not because it's the only things we talk about. But I guess
I respect it in both forms.
I
don't respect is the stigma that is attached to female comics, because it's not about what we talk about. It's the fact that people have this certain image of what a female professional or comedian does, and it's that sticks to them, and you can literally kind of blow their mind by saying that you're not that stereotype. It's just a crazy thing.
This is so weird. As you were just saying that, I just opened up Twitter and I follow Beck Hill, who is a comedian. And this is pinned to the top of her Twitter. It says, interviewer, what is it like being a female comedian? Me, a lot like being a male comedian. But
you get
asked that question a lot more.
I just got goosebumps.
Yeah,
Beck Hill is a great gal. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, and it starts to become, it does start to become, unfortunately, the norm. Like, it's certainly not us with comedy, but it's like you've just got no idea how many doors we've had closed because there's two of us, and a lot of people are two girls, and a lot of people will talk, and we do. It's different for us because on our podcast we do talk about girl stuff, but we do have a lot of other things that we do discuss that aren't things that are just about vaginas.
The sad thing is that you have to justify that.
Not just justify it, and we get doors closed because people are like, the broadness isn't big enough, you know, for two girls. And I'm like, well, what about just two radio announcers or just two people trying to do an entertaining show? We're not looking for special treatment as two chicks and saying we're different because we're two chicks. We just want to do an entertaining fucking show.
Or what about two girls?
It's so hard.
But that theory doesn't even make sense, because if it's like, ooh, there's two girls, that's not going to work because it's not going to appeal to people. What about a show with two guys?
Well, this is the point.
I mean, that's their two opinions. That all because you guys, they're going to be the same.
Yeah, and they're also able to talk about their mums and their sisters and their girlfriends to talk about girl stuff. Like, we can talk about our brothers and our dads and our uncles, but it just doesn't seem the same.
They also reduce themselves to dick jokes and semen jokes and very masculine forms of humour as well.
And girls find that funny. This is the thing. Like, they can still do male comedy or, like, comedy that we don't really understand. Like, I don't know what it feels like to have semen come out of your dick. But I still find if you're going to talk about it in a funny way because it's a fucking good joke, I'm still going to be able to laugh at it. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden I can't understand it and you start talking bloke code, which actually it's hilarious that there are shows called Girl Code and things like that, because it's like we're talking a different freaking language. With your work, I guess, and obviously going through, you know, just hearing that and getting goosebumps from that, have there been examples where, you know, even direct examples where you've kind of just pulled your hair out and actually said, will this ever change? You know, when will this change? Like a real frustration point?
So many times. I mean, I've done a lot of circuits around Sydney, which is where I'm based, and it's a busy time because walk into a room and it feels like walking into Mean Girls.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
High school. but it's a boys' club.
What do you mean? Are you talking about like backstage and stuff, like of comedy festivals and fringe festivals?
Yeah.
Because there's more guys, like, there?
Yeah, 100%. You're always outnumbered. But I don't look at it, like, it's not a gender thing to me. Like, when I walk into a room, I don't go, okay, there are 6 guys and 10 girls, great, I'm safe. Like, when do you ever walk into a room like that?
No.
Never. But in these situations, it kind of becomes so apparent because, like, you walk in and it kind of, it's like you have, like, a L on your face or something that's like, oh, there's a different one.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? I've had so many moments where I've done some sets and just been like, maybe I'm not funny, say. Like, maybe I am very funny, just so we all know. maybe I'm not funny, and the reason you're not laughing is because I'm not funny. Fine. But I find that it's kind of forced not laughter, which is a really funny thing.
To make a point.
Yeah, to make a point. It's like a genuine, like, conscious effort not to. But, I mean, maybe that's just, like, a personal
feeling. So do you actually openly say that you feel like female comics get bullied?
No, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't go that far. I definitely wouldn't go that far. I think that you definitely need to be one of the boys to be in their club, though.
Yeah,
and
okay.
if you're not willing to be one of the boys, then you are a girl, and it's a different ball game altogether.
Are they intimidated? Is that what it is? Like that you can both be comics. One's a guy, one's a girl. I don't know. Does that make it more intimidating for a guy that they potentially aren't as good as you or as funny as you? Like, is that maybe where it's coming from?
It's possible. I think the comics are very fragile when it comes to other comics generally. I think if a comic sees a fantastic comic, they will automatically beat themselves up. I'm not sure it's my gender that's intimidating, but more my willpower and my push to actually succeed that is intimidating.
It's funny.
That it's that rather than my gender. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But at the same time, by you even commenting about it means that you're not 100% sure. And I think a lot of the time our intuition is pretty spot on. And whilst you can't sit there and say that you know for sure that that's what you felt, there's a good reason that you're kind of bringing it up and saying that potentially you've been made to feel uncomfortable, and potentially it could be because you were a chick. I don't think that, you know, people are like, well, how do you know that? And you don't know for sure. But I guess in the end, I also think that you don't invent things in your head when you have that kind of strong feeling. It is generally a feeling for a reason. And the funny thing about this is as well is that I think what the backlash of a lot of it is, oh, you don't need proper women networking groups. Like, if you perform fucking equality, why do you need to do these groups? Or why do you need to talk about girl shit or whatever? And like you've said, Em, you really want to be judged as a comic. And we also want to be judged as, you know, as entertainers and as radio announcers. But the problem is, at this stage of the game, things aren't actually equal yet. And I think that's the problem, because at the same time you do want the same stuff and you do want it to be simple enough where everything is the same, but we still have work to do before I think the level playing field is even. So that's where we're in that fucking predicament where it's like, no, we don't 100%. Want special groups, and we don't want to be excited when we see female comics at a fucking, you know, group gig.
Well, I mean, there are shows here in Adelaide called like Bloody Funny Women, which are specifically for female comics.
And the reason they're there is to support it, because at the same time, we've still got a bit to go. And that's the reason they're still important, even though most of us chicks wish that they weren't grouped like that. Like, I wish we were further on.
If you see any showcases, I will guarantee you it'll be like a 10-2 ratio of female comics to male comics.
Why do you think that is, though? Like, do you just think, obviously,
I think there are less female comics generally in the world.
As a general
rule. I think.
But why?
As a general rule.
Why? I
was talking to someone about this actually like a day ago, and I was saying, I think it's because stand-up comedy especially is very naked. It's one of the most naked crafts that I know. You go on stage and you don't have anything other than a microphone. That's an intense time. You guys would feel it as well. Like, you are doing a radio show and all you've got is your voice. And if people don't like your voice, that is scary. I've had gigs where I've looked into the audience and I've gone, does everyone in this room hate me? Potentially.
It's not a great feeling. It's not. And we often, I guess we don't, we're not comedians by any form, but we often
it's
can relate. Thank you. I'll take it. But we often feel similar because I guess there's that exposure. Like we are radio chicks, but we are trying to do things a little bit differently.
Totally.
Not on purpose, but because of who we are. Like we don't really go out there and say, we're looking to, you know, be different to what's been done. But at the same time, we just want to be honest rather than fit into a fucking hole that's been there for 20 years because that's just been the way that it's worked.
So,
I guess that's where we can probably relate to that kind of thing, even though
totally.
We're certainly not stand-up. But I reckon it would be more aggressive for you guys because
totally.
It seems like there's always been a place for women in radio. It's been a very one kind of place. But there are some around, you know. So it's a bit different, but it is similar in its own way.
Yeah, definitely.
I want to talk about periods.
I was going to say.
Oh, no.
Can we talk about it? Or is it like, yeah,
no,
you
please,
can.
Let's
because,
talk about it,
because
why
but
not?
This is kind of the thing. Again, it happens. We have to
exactly.
talk about it. We can't exactly. all of a sudden pretend we don't have periods because we want equality. It's a fucking half of the fucking world have them.
Okay.
So we will talk about it.
So
go.
You get every, yeah, you're right. Half the population gets the period. And sometimes you get your period at work. And that's what happened to me today. And it's completely...
Oh, my God, Chrissy, you're wearing white.
And utterly awkward. I am wearing white today and I'm wearing a skirt. It's not great.
It's a double whammy of...
Yeah, it's a double fucking whammy.
Scariness.
Yeah, what a mofo.
Okay, not just that, but we were doing like an outside broadcast. So basically we were doing our show, but we were live and we were on location at, get this, a primary school.
Oh, geez.
Okay. I didn't have my normal handbag with me. I just had my mini handbag. And mm-hmm. in that mini handbag, I don't have any...
What's a mini handbag?
Well,
a clutch for work?
No, because I had spinal surgery and not that long ago and I can't actually have my proper handbag.
Yep,
my
cool.
big handbag... Don't say sorry. It's not like you've offended me. You know, normally have this big handbag that's got fucking everything in it, like antibacterial hand stuff, and then I've got like lipstick and hand cream and bloody, you know, tampons galore, like just random shit in there. And because I didn't have that with me, I didn't have any form of tampon, any liner, any tissues, any anything.
Before we get into how much of a nightmare that actually is, this is going to go to an all-time Sex and the City girl cliche more than we've ever probably done on this podcast, but I got my period today too, so that means we're synced up.
You guys are so cute.
And that's nuts, and we're not even in the same state.
Nope. But
huge.
Honestly, I think
that
but
was
I
the
just...
happiest moment of my life when I realized my best friend and I were synced up. I was like, yes.
Well, see, that's never happened to me. I always thought it was like a myth. But
hey,
like,
girl,
no, it does
we're
happen.
Synced up.
It
we're synced up. So, how fucked up is it when you aren't planned? Though I have the period app. Sorry, it's true. And so, apologies in advance. But I just have it because I also like to kind of know when I might start to cry for no reason. So it gives me a bit of an idea on when that's going to come.
Where is this app? I need it.
What's it called? What is it actually called? The period app?
It's called Period Tracker. And it's free. It's the light version. Unfortunately, that doesn't, you know, make your period light. But it
does.
Imagine you could download an app to make your flow lighter.
Oh, my God. The amount of money that people would pay for that.
Oh.
You should write that
you'd
down.
Save a fortune in aphrodisiac. That fucking shit's expensive, man.
That's true.
You should actually get Bill Gates on that and see if he can develop something.
Yeah, right. So you stick it caught up you and then it would like set off a, I don't know, magnetic impulses.
I'm more of an ideas person, not a details person, but I'm
an entrepreneur. I start thinking of how we could actually make it happen.
How is this M the other day? Stace called me. What was it about?
Oh, no.
I'm not going to say it, but Stace is like, I've got this app idea, didn't know anybody. I'm like, no, what do you mean? I don't know anybody.
How would I know
somebody that would make a multi-million dollar app that works in legal? Like, what the fuck?
Look, I just throw it out there. From time to time. So I'm trying to look for the fucking app.
She's always
it's distracted me. Yeah, I know.
Makers.
I'm not thinking. So Period Tracker. It's called Period Tracker. It's got a beautiful little flower. Okay. And it's pretty gay. And I never really say that. But it says my next expected date was, oh my God, I'm 9 days late. I didn't realize. Holy shit. Alyssa came.
Guys.
That's pretty late. I'm stressed out, guys.
See, but that was me because mine has just been all over the shop for the past couple of months. So it, like, some months I don't get it. Some months if I do, it's like just I get two in a month. Like, it's nuts. So here we were doing this broadcast and like maybe an hour and I'm standing there and I get that feeling, you know, like as I was standing there, I was, you know, as you're moving around and I felt, oh, it's not looking good. Go to the toilet and I'm just like, ah! What do I do here? There was actually hardly any toilet paper left. And I actually got that feeling again the first time ever got my period. And I got it quite late. So I think I was actually...
How old?
I was quite excited when I got it, to be honest. I think I was 15.
That noise.
I know, excited. No, I didn't know what the fuck had happened to me. My mum was at work and she wasn't really the best communicator. So I thought I was going to die. I thought I'd got bloody, I don't know, disease.
I was like waiting for the phone by the phone for mine because everybody else you got it. And I was like underdeveloped and I had like no boobs and I was a bit of a late bloomer. So I reckon I was like 16 and I think I came out and I think I cheered.
Announced it?
I think I cheered.
You cheered.
I think I cheered.
Mum had pom-poms. It was great.
Wow. Christy cheered when she got her period.
And now I'm looking back on that person, I'm like, man, you had no idea what you were in for.
So, Em, how about you? You want to share when you got your first period?
I don't actually remember. I definitely remember there was no pom-poms. That's a letdown now that I know that's a thing that can happen.
Yeah.
You need to dissect this and put it in your next show.
I might.
Yeah, but then she won't sell any tickets because it's about periods.
No, but this can be different. It can be like last time wasn't about periods. Yeah, now it's exactly.
Now all you fuckers that have paid for no period have so much period talk.
A period. Or you just do a mid-year with a period special. Like,
yeah, just all of the period material I have in one foul show.
Which, I got to say, isn't a lot. You don't remember where you had it, but you do freak
13.
Out.
Let's go with 13.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But it was that feeling of however old you were that first time you got it where I was just like, what do I do? Like the other, like we
oh,
were.
Oh, no. It's
we
when you stick the really shit toilet paper from school there, yeah, up there, and it hurts.
We were at a. Did you stick it up you?
No, not right up you, but you're kind of.
I thought you meant like a DIY tamp. It kind of is.
Like, not insertion, but just you put it in the underwear.
That's
but you're kind of sticking it in between there just to make sure it stays.
But that's
tight.
What I did. But that's actually what I did where I was like, oh shit, I actually had to, and I'm sorry for being so graphic, but I need to tell you how horrific this was. Like, it was actually to the point where, I actually had to do that, like a sponge almost. And then get more toilet paper, roll it in like a really neat pile because I'm like, if I just scrunch this and chuck it in, it's going to look like I've got balls because I'm wearing a fucking skirt here. And I'm in a primary school. It's going to look like I've got a boner or something.
All kinds
of fucked up. And then they're like, oh, let's get a group photo. And they're like, Christy, just sit on this chair at the front. They had this big front on it. And thank God my skirt, like there was a bit, there's like... it's like pleather. So I was like, oh, well, at least.
Well, it's like, not forgiving, is it, babe? Like, you've got to make sure that DIY tampon's quite a slim line. Jesus.
But that moment, let me ask a question. That moment where you go, oh, shit, there's no work colleagues, no mates around to ask, P.S., can I borrow? Can I have a tampon? I just felt like I was just like a teenager again. And
oh,
I mean,
it
what do you. And look, I know we, Stace, you and I say, oh my God, hashtag our lives, because we're just fucking in a shambles.
Messes.
Absolute messes. But
constantly.
I mean, like, it's. Just took me back those moments.
You're giving up. Yeah. You're giving up. As an adult, you still can't find a tampon in your clutch because of your back surgery bag. So you're actually up shit creek.
Hello, back surgery bag. There's a market for that.
She can't fit a tampon in. It's so small because she can't lift anything heavier. Jesus. Yes. Shemozzle. Fucking shemozzle. But yeah, there is nothing worse than the school paper toilet DIY tampon. Like, it's just as simple as that. So I guess the lesson is get the period tracker and be prepared, ladies.
Do you know what the only way? You can get crafty.
Yeah. If you have to, you witch, get crafty.
Get crafty.
You can get crafty.
Well, toilet paper's the only thing I've been using. Any other crafty suggestions?
What about hand towels? Just,
I think it's the way that you utilize the paper. That's the craftiness.
You know how people, when you go into new hotels and then sometimes they do some fancy things with like the serviettes and the toilet paper? You can do like a swan and shit.
That's what I'm talking about. You want a swan and your makeshift pad.
The swan would actually work quite good because it would sit up and then the rest would catch what's on the bottom.
Do you know what I did in the end? I asked Zane, my boyfriend, when he came, because he had to come pick me up because I didn't have my car. I said, can you please bring me a spare pair of jocks and a tampon?
Oh, that happened. That was today. That happened.
He brought in a plastic bag.
Hey, Em, there's hope for us with getting a boyfriend if there's girls carting around with a boyfriend asking them to do this kind of jobs. Oh, Jesus Christ. He's a good man. Mm. He's a good man, that same.
He brought it in a plastic bag and he wanted anyone to see it.
And he just rolled his eyes in. Yeah. Oh, fucking, fucking Al Christie. Yeah. Oh, guys, I think that's all we've got time for.
That's been fun.
Hey, Em, will you ever come back?
I would love to come back.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Because your gem was so amazing about how all this stuff, and then we've just completely pissed on everything that you're working toward in the comedy world by talking about vaginas, tampons, and cooking salads.
Yeah, but I like to be a rebel without a cause, you know?
Yeah,
man. It's a rebellion that's going to get people to my shows. That's what I hope.
Yeah, man. If you do want a break from our bullshit and go see Emily at her absolutely ridiculous show. You can do it this Friday and Saturday night, the 6th and 7th of March, and she'll also be performing 13th and 14th of March, if you can fit her in after our show, of course, at Adelaide Fringe Festival. You can get the tickets on their website. And if you want to follow her on Instagram, just find her at mtrez, E-M-T-R, and EZ, because as we know, she fits in with hip hop and black people and boys.
I am very cool, guys. Bye.
And if you do, like I said, head to our show, 13th and 14th of The Fringe. It is next week. There are only two shows. The room is really small because we're too scared that we don't know anyone in Adelaide. So then we may actually sell out because three people will come. So if you do want to get tickets, make sure that you get amongst that this week. And if you do want to listen to any of the other episodes of our show, we have amazing hot seat hotties like Emily join us each and every week. Head to iTunes and subscribe, or head to facebook.com/thinkergirls. Em, it's been for
Thank
real.
You
we
so
can't
much
wait.
For having me.
We will see you at the party. Will you be? Yes, you will be. We're going to really get drunk that Saturday night.
Yeah. Let's definitely party. I'm down.
Yes, let's do that. Wait. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
fun
Em.
Times.
Thank you so
Bye.
Much.
See you guys. Bye.
Bye.
Were you eavesdropping on this conversation? Follow the Thinker Girls at facebook.com/thinkergirls or Thinkergirl TV on Twitter.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.